Good morning, everyone. A couple of announcements as we begin. First of all, tonight we join together for evening worship, 6:30 p.m. And as we look at the scriptures and think about what we confess whenever we say, I believe in his only son, it's always an encouragement to come to worship the Lord as we do so at the beginning and the end of each day. Knitting group resumes tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. There's also a PW meeting beforehand, and I think all the committee members have been informed of that. Then, on Thursday night at 7:45, we meet to pray. All being well, the prayer points will be distributed earlier in the day before that. And then, next Monday night, I don't even know what date that is, 9th, that's then 7, 16, is that right? The 16th, yeah, tells you where my head is. On the 16th, we're going to have a meeting of prayer session, 16th at 8 p.m. And I would encourage you as a congregation, all of us, to be praying for the prayer session as we meet and discuss and deliberate. Finally, today we join together for the Lord's Supper. And I'd encourage you to wait whenever the bread is distributed as we symbolically join together with one another. And then as the wine is distributed, then we wait and symbolically join together and partake in the wine. For those of you who are watching online, after I've spoken to the boys and girls after the sermon, the live stream will stop. These are all the announcements. We join together, let us just prepare our hearts as we come before the living God in worship. Become this people of the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, who calls us to worship him. We call the worship is taken from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord of all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. We'll do that now as we join together to sing the praise of God in the words of Psalm number 78, verses 1 to 8, and we'll do that to the tune of Herbie. Your glory and your praise. Father, it was by your power
the power of your word that you summoned all that is into existence. And by your word that heavens and the earth were made, from empty and formless to teeming with life and abundance, you created all that is and created us in your image that we might bring you glory and enjoy you forever. Heavenly Father, we know that our first parents, through them, sin came into the world that impacts us all, that deserves your wrath. For none are good, not even one. No one is righteous before you, not even one. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive us our sins. For your name's sake, we pray. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, and what we have done, Lord, and what we have left undone. We confess that it is all too easy for us to sacrifice our convictions for convenience, your standards for status, your principles for pleasure, your absolutes for our own desires. How easily, Lord, we are seduced by power, prestige, pleasure, and possessions, seduced into violating your integrity, harming our fellowship with you. Forgive us, we pray. Not through what we have done, but through the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He did what we could not. He died in our place. He took the wrath that we deserve so that we who are your enemies might become your children. Grant us the assurance that because of what Christ Jesus has done and how it has been applied to us by the work of your Holy Spirit, that Lord, indeed we are forgiven and redeemed, and that there is nothing in this life can separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that you would be glorified amongst us. And nothing that I would say or do would add or take away from your word, but that you would be given all the glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to read together from God's word now two portions of scripture, the first in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 9. And then Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 1 to 4. As always, I'd encourage you to turn to it and keep these passages marked, both of them, because we'll be referring to both in the sermon. Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 9. This is God's word. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master. But Cain said to his brother Abel, Let's go out of the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. And over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1 to 4. This is God's word. My faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. Amen. Thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. So how was your Christmas and your New Year? Was it the stuff of dreams or was it the stuff of nightmares? Was your family Christmas the perfect John Lewis advert? With the family gathered, with the joy, with the celebrations, with the beautifully presented spread and the fairy lights sparkling in behind everyone? Or was yours more like ours, which would be better suited for the soap opera episode where the mess is cringeworthy to watch and it's greatly entertaining as long as you're not the one stuck in the middle of it? You know, their family politics, disappointments, memories of better times, broken presents, too much indulgence, having to bite your tongue all day long whenever you know that all you want to do is get what's on your chest off your chest, and then there's having to do the whole thing again at the new year. And then there's the food, the indulgence, seeing those people that you really couldn't see far enough. And all that you're hoping for is that you're hoping that you're not going to say anything again this year. That's what Christmas is so often like for most of us. Although this Christmas I managed to avoid most of it. I'm not sure which would have been better one way or the other. Many of us make New Year's resolutions. We look back on the last year and we hope for something better. We maybe even think, why did I say that last year? If only I didn't do that. We maybe even think, why am I like this? Well, today as we start a series in the book of Hebrews, filled with heroes of the faith. But whenever we get into it and we examine it, even the soap operas on our TV, on the box, would be feared to touch the storylines of the lives of some of those listed here. As we work our way through it, we'll be brought face to face with sinful men and women, and yet what we learn is that they are commended for their faith. It's not their model of their behavior that we're to look to, because ultimately they are sinners who were saved by grace through faith. Hebrews doesn't go into their faults and failures, yet it commends them. Even though that they were sometimes reprehensible people at times, and the carnage that some of them left lasted long past their life, but yet within all of them, they had faith. Faith in Christ, in the coming Messiah to whom that they looked. And my hope is that as we look through these men and women of faith in the book of Hebrews, that it will be an encouragement to all of us. For the Lord, through the author of Hebrews, doesn't hold out these people as poster boys and poster girls and says, look at their moral examples. But instead it gives us examples of what often the Christian life can be like. Where there will be many times that it will be suited to the soap opera rather than the John Lewis advert. There are many times that it will just be cringeworthy and entertaining as long as you're not in it. Rarely is a Christian life a bed of roses. Rarely is it like the John Lewis advert that's the family gathering with joy and celebration. These men and women of faith, though, that they were more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. For the message of Hebrews 11 isn't be like those who are listed here. Rather, the message of Hebrews 11 is to trust in the promises of God, to trust in Christ Jesus. And as we are reminded, if you've got Hebrews open, at the very beginning of Hebrews 1, that these people, these of faith, had the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. They had faith. Faith, the gift from God. They had faith in the not seen heavenly realities. It was by faith that those who were listed here, and faith that anybody throughout the history of the world has been saved.
It is through grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. Faith is what these people had. For it's only faith that saves. So today we think of the first man, Abel. First man, it's listed here. And we're going to work our way just literally through this one verse, but we're going to work our way back through Genesis as well as Hebrews. So if you've got your fingers marking both pages, it would be helpful. So first of all, we learn that it was by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. We're all familiar with the account of the fall and the implications for our lives. We live it. Our Christmases are full of those implications. And we thought about what happened in the Garden of Eden in the fall a few weeks ago. But if you've got your Bibles before you, turn back to the book of Genesis with me. Because in Genesis chapter 4, we learn about Abel. But before that, we're told how the way to the tree of life was barred. The fall and sin that came into the world barred the way to the tree of life. But yet, even in the midst of the fall, there was that glorious promise in Genesis 3:15 of one who would come to crush and bruise the head of the serpent. That promise that lived very much in the lives of Adam and Eve. And look what Eve says here in Genesis 4, verse 1. After Adam had lay with his wife and she became pregnant, she gave birth to Cain. Look what she says. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." It may not seem that significant to us, but yet Eve here exclaimed this in the knowledge of what God had promised. She saw this as the fulfillment of what God had said. She saw this as the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. "I have gotten a man. God has given us one who will deal with sin and its effects." It's all the more striking that whenever verse 2, we learn that she gave birth to his brother Abel. It's all the more striking whenever you learn that Abel's name literally means nothing. Meaningless. Because Adam and Eve, first of all, now have hope in the promises of God. Their Redeemer was Cain. So we have these two brothers, Cain and Abel, they both bring their offerings to the Lord. They're brought up in the same home. They're taught by the same parents. Their parents conveyed to the hope of them that there was in the Christ that was promised. And they came bringing an offering to the Lord as they were taught by their parents. Adam and Eve knew the importance of teaching the truth to their children and the coming generations, that they too might put their hope in the promise of God. And not forget his works. See, the school of Cain and Abel wasn't glass water. It wasn't an educated or a system of education. It was in the home. That is where they were taught. Taught to look after their flocks, but also taught how to worship the living God. Adam and Eve did all that they could for their children. They did what they could. I know this isn't a thrust of the passage, but there's an application for all of us here, parents here in this place. We have the same task. We have to do what Adam and Eve did. We're to pass on these truths to our children so that they might set their hope in God. We're to model to them what it is to have faith. And us as a church family, we are to model what it is to have faith to the children that we have. There's also something that we're reminded of here with Cain and Abel, that there's only so much that we can do for your children. Now I know that there are many of you who have done all that you can, sought to teach your children the way of God, but ultimately, we cannot believe for them. We can't teach them the right way to go. Those of you who are parents with young children, don't miss that opportunity because it will be over far too quickly. But look what we're told in verse 3, over the course of time, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil. But Abel brought some of the fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked on favor with Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. As a result, Cain was very angry. His face was downcast. There's a bit inside us that wants to say, "Well, that's not fair, Lord. They both brought their offerings. What more do you want?" But Hebrews gives us the answer. It's there on the screen. The answer to why Cain's offering was not looked upon with favor.
And while Abel's offering was, because it was by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. So there's an abiding principle here for all of us, for all human beings at every point in history. If you have Hebrews 11 still marked, turn back to it with me. Hebrews 11, because we're reminded something there in verse 6 as we'll be dealing with next week. Hebrews 11, verse 6, because we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, the crux of it for all of us is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The crux of it for Adam and Eve, or for Cain and Abel, was that without faith, it was impossible to please God. It is faith that matters. The only reason why Abel's offering was commended, which was accepted, is because he came by faith. And then there's Cain. Cain acts as a warning to all of us. Abel's offering was accepted because it was brought by faith, whereas in Cain came with faithless worship. He came and brought his offerings to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord, but his offerings were not looked upon with favor because he did not have faith. We're reminded that God not only cares about how we approach him, that we worship him, the form and text and how it should be agreeable to his word, but God cares about the motivation of our worship. Why are we here? Are we here in faith? Or are we here because this is what we do on a Sunday, because it's better than what's on the box? Cain and Abel were both taught to do the right things. Cain had been taught to come and to offer sacrifices to the Lord, to offer his worship to the Lord. He had been shown what it is to worship. He came according to the word of God, but he did not have faith. Just as the case for Cain and Abel, it's only whenever our hearts are right, whenever we come by faith, that God will look upon us with favor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must know that what matters is not us, it is faith in Christ. The response in Genesis is quite clear. Cain's angry. He's downcast. Ultimately, his anger, his rage, with NCs and pegging his brother's life is nothing to do with evil. It's ultimately against God himself. The Lord in his grace warned Cain with the failure to trust in him, but Cain rejected his glorious words. And for all of us who reject God's gracious word, there will also be consequences. There's a concise and abrupt way we're told about the death of Abel, about his murder. It depicts the awfulness of what took place here for us. Ultimately, Cain hated God. While Eve may have thought her firstborn son, Cain, was the hope of Genesis 3:15, the Savior that came, ultimately it leaves us here now with Cain becoming the first murderer and Abel becoming the first martyr. Christ's church. First martyr was not John the Baptist or Stephen in the book of Acts, it was Abel. He was murdered at the hands of his brother. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. But by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. Abel was commended as a righteous man because of his faith. And we know in Romans chapter 3 that there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, there's no one who seeks God. There's no one who does good, not even one. And that includes Abel. It's not that Abel was righteous by his own virtue, his goodness, his morality. He was only righteous because God commended him so, declared him so. Abel was righteous by faith. Again, we're reminded that what matters for all of us is faith. Abel was commended as a righteous man because he had faith in the promised one of Genesis 3:15.
Abel had faith in the hope that his parents had passed on and taught him to believe in. Abel had faith in the promised one who would come to deal with the sin of the people. As Romans 3:25 reminds us, the one who came to offer a sacrifice of atonement. The sacrifice of Jesus was for all sin before his coming and after his coming, because in his forbearance God left the sins committed beforehand unpunished to demonstrate his justice. Abel's sin was placed upon Christ Jesus. Through the atonement, Christ Jesus died a once and for all sacrifice. For Abel, he died. Through all of those who have faith, he died. He came to die for the sin of those who believe. And if you're struggling to believe or understand how it was through faith in Christ that Abel was saved, look back to Hebrews. We'll get to it in a few weeks time. Hebrews chapter 11, and we read in verse 26 something wonderful, because we're reminded here that it's all of these who have faith that are listed here we're looking forward. In verse 26, we're told, and this is speaking of Moses, he, Moses, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah were all looking forward to Christ Jesus. They were looking forward to the promises of God that would be fulfilled in the Messiah. What we have is a wonderful reminder of how God's word from beginning to end is all about his one Lord, one plan, and one people. Abel was looking forward to Christ. Abel only saw dimly, but yet he saw the promise of God. Every sinner who has ever lived, as well as those who are listed in Hebrews 11. And let us not forget us. The only way that we can be made right with God is through faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. The only way that we can be commended as righteous by God is through faith. Because of faith, Abel was pronounced as righteous. For all our righteousness is filthy rags, apart from the righteousness that we receive through Christ Jesus. It is through Christ Jesus, and through faith in him, that Abel was declared righteous. Boys and girls, I want to talk to you, because you can help us to understand a little bit of what happens whenever we are commended as those who are righteous. Because it can be a hard thing for us to understand this. Now, again, put your hands up, and then I'll ask you, and we'll figure out where we go from here. Right, did any of you, by chance, get any dressing up clothes for Christmas? Any of you? How about then? Do any of you have any dressing up clothes? Do you? Yeah? You can admit it. You? We've got a few around the place. Good job. I used to have dressing up clothes. Well, actually, I had one thing to dress up in. Anytime school was doing something where you could come up in fancy dress, mine was a border suit and a pair of wellies, because I wanted to be like my granddad, and I wanted to be like my uncles and be a farmer. So, what are the kind of things that we could dress up as, boys and girls? Peter Rabbit, we could dress up as Peter Rabbit. That's a good one. What else could we dress up as? A pirate, that's a good one. Anybody got anything else? Okay, there's one up here. Harry Potter, that's another one, yeah. A minister, you could dress up as a minister. Yeah, that's true. There's lots of different ones. Right, here, let's see if I can remember these. Just dressing up like Peter Rabbit. Make you Peter Rabbit. No? Does dressing up like a pirate make you a pirate? No. Does dressing up like Harry Potter make you Harry Potter? No. Is dressing up like a minister make you a minister? No. If I dress up as a farmer, does that make me a farmer? Yes. Doesn't really. Which goes, in the Bible we're told that whenever we have faith, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are clothed in Him, in His righteousness. It means that, boys and girls, whenever God looks at us, He doesn't see us pretending to be something that we're not. He sees us as Christ, perfect. He sees us as Christ, the one who went to the cross and paid our debt. Boys and girls, there's a wonderful truth that happens. Whenever we trust Jesus, whenever we have faith, we are clothed in His righteousness. We are commended here, as Hebrews says. It means that any time God looks on us, He sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Our sins are forgiven completely, and we are His children. See, for any of us, and for all of us, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. No longer does God see our sin-soaked rags. He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Saving faith will always lead to us being commended as righteous. For in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is from faith from first to last. The righteous will live by faith. We can state that Abel was saved by grace alone through faith alone. He was righteous because of what Christ Jesus had done or would do in the future. And for all of us, what matters is not anything else but the faith that we must have in Jesus Christ. Abel looked forward to how that Christ would come, who would deal with sin, who would lead a perfect life, who would go to the cross and die in His stead. And for all who put their trust in Him, they are justified before a holy God through the perfect righteousness of that Christ of Jesus who is imputed to them. It's known as an alien righteousness because it doesn't belong to us. It's foreign. It's not our own. So it was by faith Abel was offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. See, Abel's life was taken from him unjustly. The rest of the passage goes on and speaks of how Abel's blood cried from the ground. It cried for vengeance against Cain. And all those who read this, it speaks though in two ways of how Abel still speaks to us, because the name of Abel still goes around the world through God's word. We look about what's written about Abel and we are encouraged. It still speaks because it tells us of how we are made right with God through faith. The first martyr in church history was not a perfect man, but then what's conveyed to us is not be like Abel. Instead, it is to look to the Christ by faith, have faith in Him. But yet the other way that Abel's blood still speaks, or he still speaks, is also in the book of Revelation. In the book of Genesis, it speaks of his blood crying out for vindication, for justice. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, we're told of the martyrs of the faith who cry out for judgment upon man, asking how long will the Lord refrain from avenging the blood of those who have died. Christ's blood speaks of a better sacrifice, one that speaks of forgiveness. We will all one day die. We may not be martyred like Abel was in the beginning for our faith in Christ. I sincerely hope Northern Ireland doesn't degenerate that quickly. But Abel, through faith, was made perfect in holiness. He was joined into glory with his heavenly Father. He's there right now. We will one day meet him through faith ourselves. We wait until the resurrection. Our elder brother Abel is with Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life as a ransom for many. And by faith, for all who look at him, it doesn't matter if our lives are more suited to the John Lewis advert or they're more suited to the soap opera with a mess that's cringeworthy that we would want nobody to ever know. It is through Christ that we are made righteous. Jesus is the friend and savior of sinners, and although we do not see him, we believe in him. Rejoice today in what he has done and how the Spirit has worked that faith within us. And it is by faith that we will receive a commendation of being righteous. Many of us have a hard time accepting that it's nothing to do with us, to accept that what matters is faith. But it is by faith that we are saved, by grace alone, through Christ alone. The faith that Abel had was in Christ Jesus. The only reason, only way that anyone listed in Hebrews 11 was saved was through faith in Christ Jesus. We often fall into the trap thinking and it's about us, that it's reliant on how we're doing. It's like the more I read my Bible, the more that God will love me. The more I do the right things, the more that God will love me. The more I do this, or the more I don't do that. The more, the less, the more then God will accept me. The only way that any of us are accepted is through faith. Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord, and yet Abel was commended for his offering. Cain was rejected for it. Cain's heart was not right with the Lord because he did not have faith. He came with the right routines, the right rituals, but God wants relationship from us. Abel's faith in God was based on the promises of God and relationship. Righteous will live by faith. Abel was a justified sinner, a man made right by his faith. That's the only way that his sacrifices were accepted. And today, what matters is not the outward appearances. It doesn't matter how we look and what we do and what we are seen to do. What matters for each and every one of us today is, have we faith? Have we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we faith? And as we come to the Lord's Supper, knowing that without faith, that it is impossible to please God. Because if you do not have faith, taking in the bread and wine, how do you any good? But for those who have faith, by this bread and wine you will be spiritually fed and equipped more and more to live for Christ, who died so that by faith you may be commended as the righteous of God. Amen. Stand with me as we join together in prayer. Almighty God, we come and we give you thanks for your word. You know that at times it confronts us with our own sinfulness. It's hard to listen to. Yet there are other times it is your manner. It reminds us of the salvation that you freely give that we do not deserve. Heavenly Father, we thank you that salvation is not dependent on us, dependent on what we've done or can do, but instead it is dependent on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the testimony of the saints of the old who trusted in Christ. Help us like them to trust in your promises, to trust in Jesus Christ, and to know that we now stand forgiven, redeemed in Jesus, and that your word by the Spirit has worked in us. Heavenly Father, as your Son, our Savior, sits in your right hand, at your right hand, speaking on our behalf, thank you and praise you.
And when we have a hard time accepting that what matters is faith, that by that we are saved, and it is grace through faith alone, help us to rejoice in the precious faith that you have given us. It's not dependent on who we are or what we have done, but in Christ alone. Lord, as we come, we also bring our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for others, knowing that this is a decaying, dying world that is in need of Christ. We move from one thing to another, uncertainty internationally, nationally, locally. But there's uncertainty for the future for many. So Lord, we pray for those scenes that we see repeated around the world, of man's inhumanity to man. As some celebrate Christmas to the sound of not jingle bells but falling shells, Lord, that you would work. And that, Lord, that you would help our nations to work together to see the end of conflict. For this land, we pray that those who have been elected, that Lord, as a new year begins, that they would work together for the good of all people. Those who we know, who are loved, and who we love, who are struggling. For them, their mind is not what it once was. Those who have financial worries, for those whom life is a daily toil, help them. For those facing terminal diagnosis, and for those who have no hope in Jesus, help them to have hope. For those facing the reality of the age that seems to have crept up, help them to know the hope of our new resurrected body. And that, Lord, all of us, you would give us more and more hope and confidence in the Christ, Jesus Christ, who died for our salvation. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Join together to sing Praise to God with the hymn Rock of Ages.